Welcome back to another exciting edition of the Pointless Exercise Podcast. The baseball season is upon us. It's snuck up on us like the groundhog. Whoa. That doesn't make any sense. Anyway, it's here. And coming to us on location again. My God, he's a world traveler. We talked to him from the Cactus League the last time we did this podcast, and he got to hang out in the Grapefruit League. It's Bally's senior MLB writer, David Brown. David, how are you?
You should see the size of these grapefruits. It's amazing.
Things they could do with hormones these days.
Oh, God. Well, you know, you wonder how Barry Bonds got how he was. There's got to be some kind of relationship to this. But it's great that we're another baseball season is upon us. It's been a fun WBC-filled spring training experience, and now we're ready to go for real.
It's kind of nice to have an actual spring training, like a real one for a change.
It is, you know.
It's been a long time. 2019 was the last regular spring training.
It seems like it's been 2,000 years, too. But, 4 years is a while to, you know, no lockouts. Let's just say we're ignoring the pandemic now. It's not really there, true or not. Yeah. It's good to be normal again, yes. Absolutely.
So now, are we still going to find out who's vaccinated and who's not when they go to Toronto, or is that over?
I don't think we care anymore. I think that is they've lessened their they are going to people are still going to, if they happen to test positive for a COVID, they're going to have to stay away. But they're not. You know, last year they stopped testing unless there was unless they showed signs of having it. And this year, I don't think at all. I think we can just go into Canada whenever we want now. So
we don't have to have JT Realmuto doesn't have to wear the Star Spangled chest protector that he wore for the WBC and stand in customs and go, you're letting me in, damn it, whether I've had an injection or not.
I was thinking of him too. It's funny that you say him. Yes, that's right, JT. He's fully protected against pitches in the dirt and COVID now, and we're just gonna have to assume that it's all fine.
That's right. So he had a little fun in spring training the other day. He got he's a veteran. Why would he even been mad? He got thrown out of a spring training game because he was catching Craig Kimbrell. Kimbrell got called for taking too long between pitches,
right?
And then the AAA home plate umpire went to put a new ball into play, and JT had his glove out waiting for him to put the ball in it. JT got tired of waiting for it, pulled his glove away just as the guy was dropping it, and the guy assumed that JT and Craig were still so pissed over the automatic strike that JT did it on purpose, and he threw him out. And I'm thinking, you're a catcher. You're about to catch 145 games for the Phillies. Why do you care if you have to leave the last grapefruit game early? I would have been trying to get myself thrown out, I think.
You know, I think after the fact, these guys, they rationalize it that way. I think they understand and look at things the way that you do. But in the heat of the moment,
really? For this? Yes. Yeah.
Right. So I think in the long run, you're right. He's probably cool with it. He's like, all right, I've put enough work in down here. It's ridiculous. I'm out of here. But, it sure looked like the umpire was looking for a confrontation.
Yeah. He just assumed they did it on purpose and tossed it.
Which, to me, indicates a guilty conscience. Yeah. So.
Well, and I guess the reason JT pulled the glove back was a couple of pitches before the umpire, JT had asked for, or Kimbrell had asked for a new ball, and the ump just threw it to him.
Right.
So JT pulls his glove up and goes, oh, he's just going to throw it to him, pulls his glove down. The guy drops the ball, just misses his glove, and then throws him out, which I thought was kind of funny. I want to ask you something about the WBC.
Yeah.
Our good friend, Joe Davis, I'm sure he's your good friend, and he's my good friend too, because he went to Beloit College, and that's like 11 miles away. Kept referring to the American, the U.S. team as the Dream Team. Although he kept saying, some people are calling it the Dream Team. I'm like, okay, Joe, you're the only one that has called it that. Shouldn't, if baseball assembled an American Dream Team, wouldn't they actually give them a pitching staff?
Yes. Yeah, it's almost like if it was I'm trying to remember all the Dream Team guys to come up with a good analogy, but it's it certainly was maybe two or three of those guys short of, I think if only the insurance industry had been in on it and Clayton Kershaw could have somehow gotten his contract approved.
Yeah, that would have helped.
That
but still,
helped.
Even okay. with even if you just add Kershaw to that staff, it's still like, really? These are the other guys that we've got?
Right.
The end of the bullpen was good. When you got to Devin Williams and then Ryan Pressly, you're in good shape.
It's one of those pitching staffs that it's like, well, if this was the Olympics, you know, how the Olympics never, almost for baseball players, almost never had the best players. But if they had a pretty good staff, that's what it would be like. So it'd be like, oh, you know, we got these guys, so I'm pretty optimistic because we have Merrill Kelly or whatever. You know, usually we'd only have someone like, you know, I can't even think of a good – someone less than Merrill Kelly as the best pitcher.
Yeah.
So it, under some standards, it was pretty good. Under, you know, are these the best major league players? It's, you know, it's our best fourth starters. Absolutely. So –
Well, my joke, my first joke, I made many at Joe's expense, was I could see why he's comparing this team to the 92 Olympics men's basketball team, because they couldn't pitch either. Ah, good one. Zing. I just tweeted zing at Joe. I don't think he appreciated it.
You don't think he understands the Beloit College, you know, the psychic connection that you guys have?
Oh, I think, yeah, I think he does. I think he gets it. He knows we're pals.
That's pretty good. That's kind of how me and Jimmy Garoppolo went to the same high school.
Oh, well, there you go.
So, yeah, I like that. Rolling Meadows, by the way.
Of course.
Yes.
Were you gonna go to Vegas and see if you could stay at Jimmy's house while you're in town?
Yeah.
Hey,
mean,
Jimmy,
that's
it's me,
news,
Dave. But... What? Who's this?
Right. Yeah. Look it up in the Mustang register.
He's probably got. Oh, just a second. Oh yeah, there you are. All right, buzz, get in. That's cool.
Right.
Yeah, I did. I've always enjoyed the World Baseball Classic. I think mostly because it's March and it's cool to see actual baseball where people give a shit, which is nice. I've always been a little jealous of it. Always seems like other countries' teams have a lot more fun than the Americans do.
Yeah.
The crowds have more fun. The players have more fun. So it's like, oh. And I'm just waiting for Team Ireland to qualify. I'm sure they'll probably use a shillelagh instead of a bat. That'll put them at a disadvantage. But, you know, why not? I mean, if the Czechs can make it, I don't know why the Irish can't.
Right. And Great Britain had such a good tournament that you're probably feeling a little jealousy over that.
Yeah, well, I mean, I guess the Northern Irish got to go.
Right.
But they don't count. The last few games were all pretty much insane. It was a lot of fun. Especially the Team Japan's last two games, the miraculous comeback, and then the win over the United States in the championship game, in which we got to see a couple of epic matchups of one set of current teammates and one of former teammates. I mean, the Shohei Mike Trout thing was fun. That was cool. But Cub fans got to sit there and be really conflicted as Yu Darvish pitched to Kyle Schwarber. And they're like, oh yeah, we loved both of these guys, and they're both gone.
And for what again?
Well, Kyle, they saved $8 million. That's what they got. Tom Riggs got to keep $8 million. And you, they traded him for four preteens who are almost ready to drive now. We're very, very excited. But, yeah, it was one of those rare things where everybody was like, wouldn't it be cool if Shohei got to face Mike Trout? And then not only does it, he does it as the final batter of the game. It was
right.
It was as though it had been scripted. Maybe it was. I don't think it was.
It was funny how we talked about that possibility. It's like, well, if Shohei pitches, it'll probably be in relief just because of how the rules work and what's best for Japan at the time. And then we got it. And he threw some unfair-looking pitches to Trout. I felt bad because Trout was kind of the impetus for getting the really good, at least hitters, on the American League guys to commit. And it came down to him, and he couldn't come through. But, I mean, who could in that situation? It was tough. Shohei was ready to give it his best, and that's better than anybody else has. So
I'm going to give my expert baseball opinion. It's controversial. So brace yourself.
Yeah.
I think Shohei Ohtani is good.
He is pretty good.
Yeah, I think he's pretty good.
Yeah, I mean, I don't, you know, he's probably not the best pitcher or hitter, but, you know, to be the, you know, the 10th best hitter and the 8th best pitcher or whatever he is, something like that. That's just kind of a cruelly awesome combination. I don't know if it's because no one's ever tried. Could anybody do it? But it's, you know, I see him perform and I think, well, this is his, I don't know if he's the best baseball player ever, but I can't think of any other players that have done anything like this. So,
well, just Brooks Kieschnick.
Yes.
I mean, he's up there. I don't know if he's surpassed Brooks yet, but he's on his career trajectory is pointed that way.
If we put it in that context, Brooks is like a top 50.
Probably, yeah. I thought it was really interesting. You know, Shohei is, we don't really, if, oh, you've, have you talked to him? Have you ever interviewed Shohei?
Yeah. I mean, in a very, in, you know, a locker room with like 30 guys. And lots of translating going on. That was this year. And I think when he was a rookie, it was maybe three or four people in Kansas City when he was coming through. So, yeah, I have.
I think it feels for two reasons. Like, we don't really know him. A, he plays for the Angels.
Right.
And then B, there's the language barrier and the other stuff. But it was – so I think we made some assumptions during the World Baseball Classic. That maybe he was doing some things out of character, and maybe he was. Like, we got to see the video where he gave the speech before the championship game, which was really cool.
Right.
It basically told him, you know, we're not going to beat them if you idolize them. You
right.
have to, and, which is, you know, it's good advice. And the fact, the coolest thing he did was the fact that he took batting practice on the field before the last two games, basically so the other team could watch him hit balls to parts of the Miami Park that no one has ever touched with a baseball before. He's just like, all right, you're going to get a whole shitload of this, so enjoy it. This is really cool. A, that he thought to do it, and B, that he can do it. That he just knew, well, I'll just launch balls to ridiculous distances and it'll intimidate the shit out of everybody else. And it actually did.
I like to think that he was imagining peppering the old home run machine with, pitch after pitch after pitch, you know, beating it into submission. But they had moved it to outside. Jeter moved it to outside of the stadium. So
I thought maybe it was in Jeffrey Loria's yard now.
Maybe
it's in David Sampson's yard. He got to keep it.
Yeah, like some old Las Vegas strip signs or whatever, like a graveyard of old.
It is funny that so one of the early, you know, they played a lot of games in that stadium in Miami. The pool play was there with like Venezuela and Puerto Rico, and then the semis and quarters and semis and finals were there. And I was watching some of the pool play, and I wasn't right. I'm like, where are they? I was like looking at the stadium, trying to figure out where they were. And then I realized, I'm like, oh, that stadium looks really nice without all the crap. Like, there's no ridiculous teal walls anymore, and there's no fish tank or whatever the hell they used to have, and the home run monstrosity is gone. And you're like, you know, that actually does look like it's a nice baseball stadium. And the other thing you'd never seen, there were fans in it. That was the other thing that just threw me off. Like, wait a minute, where are we? Oh, Miami? I didn't even know they had an upper deck. There's people in it.
That threw off the Marlins. I had a chance to go over to them after they had returned, and I'm like, what can we do to kind of bring this atmosphere over? And Sergio Alcantara is like, we got to have fans.
Yeah.
It's like that's the difference. We have to actually bring people to the games. They didn't know. They didn't realize those people in Miami had existed either. So.
Wait a minute, you like baseball? You know, we have a team. We have real uniforms and everything. So on your travels through the Grapefruit League, has anything caught your eye? As we get ready now for the 2023 championship season, as Theo Epstein would call it.
It's just funny to me. One thing, it's maybe a little cynical of me, but I went over to Sloan Park, and it's like, it was just, it was, I don't want to say it was like nice, but it was just such a construction of a baseball park. It was like, this is what inspired them. The plans for Sloan Park must be what, I don't know what the timelines are versus Wrigley Field, but it was obviously just a professional stadium. It was like, they felt like making a major league ballpark there. And they, made it a little smaller, but it's like 15,000. And it's just so, it's just kind of amazing what, they had to kind of rebuild Wrigley Field, but Sloan is just kind of a Ricketts monstrosity, sort of a giant. I don't want to say soulless, but it's sort of like the alternative to what you could have had instead of Wrigley Field if you had built a new ballpark from the ground up rather than
And
what they had
Rosemont
done.
or
Yes,
wherever, that's what it would have looked like.
something like that. Yes.
Well, yeah, the biggest difference between Sloan Park and the Wrigley Field renovation is the Ricketts actually had to pay for the Wrigley renovation. They didn't pay hardly anything for Sloan. We're moving to Naples, Florida or Italy. It doesn't matter. We're moving to Naples unless you build us a new stadium and you can give the A's our old one. Like, okay, fine, we'll build it. And they did.
So that was one of the takeaways I had from that. But I also had a very nice conversation with Billy Williams, and some things that just can't be repeated about how groupies are around ball players, and that was fun off the record. And just he'd see a guy going into the box, and he's like, "Well, that guy's swing is too long. That guy needs to shorten it up." It was just funny to kind of get to experiencing that, and that was the kind of a nice. I've talked to Billy before for interviews at Wrigley because he's there, or has been there frequently, and it was just nice to hear the old man talk about baseball. He's a fun guy, and
Yeah, he's the coolest guy.
he is. So those were two things,
Well,
and
that's good.
yeah, and the Dansby Swanson sitting down for a big interview with the Wall Street Journal, the reporter that they sent, and seeing all Freddie Freeman talk about getting to hear Freddie Freeman talk about all the it was Freddie Freeman selling Dansby Swanson like nobody on the Cubs had. It's like, well, that guy's a winner, and they're going to get all kinds of residual benefits from him. He's going to be in the lineup every day, and it was like, I'd seen, I kind of jokingly, half jokingly, thought of Jeff Blauser when I saw the Cubs get Dansby, but now Freddie Freeman's got me ready to watch him and see if there's going to be some more benefits than Jeff had for the Cubs when he signed the free agent deal. So
I'm pretty sure.
I'm excited.
I'm pretty sure Jeff Blauser got more than four hits in his first spring with the Cubs.
Yes.
Dansby hit homers in his last two spring training games, which
Right.
prompted Zach Zaidman excitedly on the score to go, "This guy knows when to get hot." And I was thinking, all right, Zach, if he knew when to get hot, he wouldn't have wasted these two home runs in Phoenix.
Right. He
I
would have
don't
started
think it
third.
works that way, I'm sorry to tell you. Yeah, well, when you said Dansby was doing an interview with the Wall Street Journal, I thought maybe he was like, I really regret that I had half my contract paid out in Bitcoin and I put the other half in the Silicon Valley Bank.
Yeah, I think
Thank God my
I don't know what they're
thank God my
talking
wife's a professional soccer player. You know, a women's professional soccer player makes about 35 grand a year. So we're set. We'll be fine.
Yeah, we'll see. I don't know if that interview has come out yet, so we'll see about the content.
Yeah, the big news with the Cubs was they still haven't announced their at the time of this recording, their 26-man roster, except for the fact that they had a workout at Wrigley and they basically had the 26 guys there. And so if you could recognize who they were, you could tell who they were. They're going with three catchers
Right.
because why not? I mean, Yan Gomes and Tucker Barnhart aren't enough. You also need is it Luis? Is it Torrens or Torrens? I'm actually gonna have to learn how to say his name now. It doesn't really matter. He had
I think it's Torrens.
five extra base hits and 166 at bats last year for Seattle, so I'm not gonna get too attached.
It's a tough ballpark, Andy.
That's right. There's no space in the outfield for a double.
I thought he would be better than that, honestly. But
Well, the Cubs are banking on it.
you said three catchers. I thought that PJ Higgins was coming back.
And when you go to PJ Higgins, make sure you get the nachos, because oh wait, that's the wrong.
Yes, the Rich Melman catcher.
No, PJ, he was one of the guys who we, you know, Jed went 13 players in a row he DFA'd that the Cubs kept because the rest of the league is like, woo, I don't want that guy. PJ cleared waivers and then said, I don't want to go to Iowa. I'll go
Right.
to anywhere else in the International League. I don't want to go back to Des Moines, so he's gone. Yeah, apparently the Cubs were so enamored with the 22 at bats that they gave Luis in the spring that they're like, well, we can't let this guy go. So he made the team, he made the opening day roster. The Cubs have, now, baseball teams still use three outfielders, right? Is that still, I know the rules change, but I think you still need three, right?
I've talked to we've heard some experimentation going on.
Cubs opening day roster has two outfielders on it. Ian Happ and Cody Bellinger.
And Ian Happ's a second baseman, or was at one time.
So
Well, Cody
they're.
Bellinger is such a—he's got such a defensive reputation that he can cover a couple different spots.
Yeah, he's going to have to play right and center. That's what'll be fun.
Does this mean Chris Bryant is still on the team? You know? He's listed at third base.
Well, they're right. So they'll be rotating right fielders early until Seiya Suzuki comes back. And they will be Trey Mancini the third, Patrick Wisdom.
In the outfield.
Yes, and Miles Mastroboni.
All right.
So a DH, a second baseman, and a third baseman playing right field. What could go wrong? I can't think of anything. But they needed to do that because they gave a roster spot to Nick Madrigal, even though he had an option. He hit a 230 in the spring, and they're like, "Oh, we got to keep him because he can. We're gonna play him at third." This it's like. So the whole offseason, Jed talked about how the offense has to get better. We got to get more offense. We got to get more offense. And then you open the season with a roster that has that on it. I don't quite get it. We have Eric Hosmer at first, at least.
Right. Well, you mentioned Seiya. I think that it has to be, even though it sounds like iffy planning on their part, he's got to be a big reason why they don't care that much that they only have two outfielders because he's not going to be gone for that much longer. That's the only thing I can think of.
I don't know, because I really like Trey the third, and I'm going to call him that all year. But I don't want to see him play right field. I really don't. He's got the he's kind of got a little Nick Castellanos defense to him, and I didn't like watching that, and I don't want to watch this. They have a designated hitter. That's where he could go, and we're going to have to watch him try to catch fly balls for a while. I don't really need that. I don't know how much of it is, because I wrote a whole thing about this, about how smart general managers, guys like Andrew Friedman and Farhan and guys like that. The opening day roster for them is simply paperwork.
Right.
Like, okay, we need to be able to, their whole goal at the end of spring training is to keep as many of the guys as they can. And so some guys have options, and even though they're better than guys you keep, you send them to AAA, because the easiest time to lose a player on waivers is the last few days of spring training, because everybody's roster is in flux, and teams look around like, oh, that guy's better than our guys, let's just grab him. And it's amazing how if you wait a few days, everybody's roster's locked in, and they've spent all that time in some sweaty room with each other in a whiteboard, and they're like, our roster is perfect. Anybody who's ever, it's like everybody after their fantasy draft. I'm never going to lose a game. And so for like that whole first week, you don't care who lands on the waiver wire. You're like, my team is locked. This is great. So that's when those guys shuffle guys back and forth, and then all of a sudden you look up, you're like, well, you know, wait a minute. Half these, you know, six of these guys weren't even on the opening day roster. So I'm kind of hoping maybe that's what they did. Because you would know more about this than me, but so Madrigal has an option, but he achieved, and no one can explain to me how you do this, Super 2 status, which means apparently, even with an option, if you option him to Iowa, he can make himself a free agent right then.
Yeah, I guess it's like a right of first refusal or something like that. And, you know, gosh, I hadn't, the Super 2 thing, I thought we were over. Yeah. For some reason, I thought, but not.
And I don't know if it's a thing that in the new CBA isn't a thing anymore, but guys who were already here, you like, it kind of gets grandfathered out. I don't know. If I were the Cubs, I would have called his bluff and said, okay, right. You want to be a free agent? Go get him. See, you've already played for the two teams in the league that want you, the White Sox and us, and the Sox don't want you back. So, become a free agent. See how that works out for you. But they kept him instead. So,
I don't know. Maybe they're just bracing themselves for the, no good deed unpunished Nico Horner injury that might be coming up after the contract extension. So,
the contract extension. I want to talk to you about this.
Yeah.
So, Jed talked openly about how they were spending the spring trying to negotiate contract extensions with Nico Horner and Ian Happ. I was really glad that they didn't get a contract extension with Ian Happ, because I just think, no, long-term you have to do better in left field than Ian Happ. But the way Cubs Twitter reacted to the Nico extension, you would have thought that the Cubs, this was like the second best day in Cub history other than November 3rd, 2016. This was, this was the greatest thing ever. And so I was going through Twitter, and I'm like, oh, they extended Nico. Oh, that's good. That seems like a good idea. And I'm just assuming to myself, I'm thinking, I wonder how many years it is. He's got 2 years arbitration left, so this is probably like a five-year, maybe a six-year deal, right? Lock him in. They're going to start acting like the Braves. They're going to be locking these guys up, going to buy out a bunch of years of free agency. And then I looked, and it's a three-year deal. They basically, it's a one-year extension. That's all it is.
Right.
And it's like, okay, they didn't do anything, really. They went from, we're guaranteed to have him for 2 years after this year, to we're guaranteed to have him for 3 years after this year.
Right. It's one more year than they're guaranteed to have. Well, no, 2 years is only one more year than Bellinger. But we talked about that contract and how there's kind of a limited benefit to the Cubs just because it's only this year. So it's kind of the same thing. They have him, one more year than they otherwise would have.
Yeah. So either they just wanted to say they had an extension. They're like, Nico, come on, just take it's $20 million for that year. Just take it. I need to tell people I can. I've failed. This is Jed. I failed on every extension I've ever tried. Theo at least locked up David Bode. You just please do it. It's just 1 year. Okay, fine. Or they're like, well, he's not that good. We're not going to 4 or 5 years for Nico. Man, screw that. But it's just, I literally laughed out loud when I saw that it was 3 years. I was like, of course. Of course it's 3 years.
Right.
It's literally the bare minimum you could do to call it an extension. Congrats. They Hap at the workout today basically said they couldn't get a deal done, and the Cubs don't want to negotiate during the season. He doesn't want to negotiate during the season, so talk to me in November. And I think for him, it's the right move. The free agent class doesn't look very robust, other than Shohei.
Right.
And it could be one of those things, right, where the Shohei inflation. So say you're in the bidding for Shohei, and you're like, it's getting up to like 10 years, $500 million,
Right.
and then you don't get him, and then there's Ian Happ, who's like, I only want 6 years, and I'll settle for 150 million. Like,
Right.
that's only 150 million. We were gonna get 500 to Shohei. He's worth like a third of Shohei, sure. And then there's Ian, like, I'm rich.
I play two positions. I play outfield and infield.
Yeah, I am also a two-way player. Just my two ways are the same way. Like, wait, what? Yeah, I think the math checks out on that. So, we got that going for him, which is nice. Cubs will most likely open the season without a left-hander in the bullpen because the only left-hander they have is hurt. But that's fine. I mean, who needs a
Those
lefty?
things are those things have become overrated anyway, somewhat with the rules, the three straight rules, you know.
Yeah, and it's always—I mean, Cubs have been famous for having a terrible lefty on the roster just because he's a lefty.
Right.
And my favorite ones of all time, I think, it was the year they went to Japan to open the season. Was that was 2000, I think. And Don Baylor's bullpen had a guy named Daniel Garibay in it,
Oh my.
and even Don was like, "What the? Like, this is what you've given me?"
Right.
And then big-armed Andy Pratt a couple of years later, who peppered the backstop with fastballs. He goes really hard. The catcher never caught anything because it either went over his head or over the wall. But they were left-handed, and you had to have them, apparently. Yeah, you're just far better off. Didn't Joe Maddon's Rays for a while have like only one lefty? I mean, we
Yeah,
talked about
that's
this.
numerous examples. That's one of them for sure.
And it was JP Howell, right? Not Jay Howell,
Yeah, JP Thurston Howell.
and he got and he didn't he was a reverse split guy. Their one lefty got righties out and didn't get lefties out,
Right.
and they somehow made it work because the whole idea is bring in a pitcher who can get the batter out. It was like the old days with when Dusty had Mike Remlinger, and Remlinger didn't get lefties out. He got
Right.
righties out. Righties couldn't hit him because of that changeup, but he wouldn't throw it to lefties. And Dusty would be, oh, two on, here's a lefty, let's get Remlinger. It's like, no, he's about to give up three. Oh, there it goes. That's three runs. Thanks, Dusty. Reigning World Series champion, Johnny
Right.
B. Baker Jr. All right, so I want to do a little exercise with you. Not actual exercise. You're on vacation. There will
Thank
be
you.
no
I need
calisthenics,
notes, by the way, so
no
don't.
calisthenics involved in this.
Yes.
But our good friends at DraftKings, and you can use code word pointless. It still works,
A good hook. I
even though the
like it.
football ads are over. The code still works. Also, how about this? The code word pointless also works at the Avia shirt store. You get 25% off, or 20. I
That's
get
a
something off.
two-star code.
Yes. Just any website you go to, type in pointless and see what kind of discount you get. Anyway, they have the over-under set for the season. Well, as they should, because it starts tomorrow and people need to lose money on things.
Yes.
So here, the first one is, will a team, any team, you get the field, you get them all. You get all 30 teams.
Right.
Will anybody win more than 105 and a half games? Last year, two teams did it. Dodgers 111, the Astros 106.
I feel like there's no way. I don't know. Maybe it's just because I'm cynical, but I don't see any 104 win teams out there. I think it's all under.
I would agree with you wholeheartedly. I don't know that there's a 100-win team this year.
Right.
And they don't seem to either, because the under is minus 130. So they're like, yeah, you can bet the under, but we're not going to pay any money for it. So some of the teams in the National League I thought had interesting win totals. The Braves, 94.5. They won 101 last year. They're relatively healthy, especially compared to the Phillies and the Mets, who will be chasing them.
Yeah, I would say probably over on that. Maybe not by a lot, but.
Yeah, I like the over there, too.
97, 98.
Right. The Mets, who won 101 games last year, 91.5, probably because Edwin Diaz was jumping up and down.
Yeah.
And then was not jumping up and down. He was laying under the pile. Or not even a pile. It was just like a bunch of guys doing calisthenics, jumping up and down, and all of a sudden one guy was laying on the ground, and Javi Baez was waving frantically to a trainer.
And the optics of them wheeling him off the field in a wheelchair, just that was like one of the first things I heard about the injury. And it's like, wow, that does not look good in my mind's eye, seeing that.
So he will be attempting the Kyle Schwarber this year.
Right.
Apparently Steve Cohen, who apparently has a few dollars. They were talking about this, and I was thinking, what if this? If my boss did this, I don't know that I would be that excited about it. So Edwin gets home from the hospital. He's had his surgery.
Mm-hmm.
And one of the good things was they were, because everybody was in Florida for spring training, the Mets doctors looked at him, I think, that night. And he had surgery the next morning. And apparently that's very important to do that, to fix your patella as soon as possible.
Mm-hmm.
Then he gets home, and there's three strange people in his house. There's a chef, a personal trainer, and somebody else. I don't know if this, but anyway, Steve Cohen sent three people to get him started on his rehab. And I'd be like,
the three people you meet at Edwin Diaz's house.
Are they living with me now? You just you gave me tenants? Thanks.
It's like when you gift somebody a present, a trip, or an experience where they have to spend extra money, make it all go together.
Yeah, it's like the getting invited to a destination wedding.
Right.
It's
basically yes.
Oh, great. Yes. It's a vacation I don't want to a place I wouldn't go. Thanks. Says the guy who got married at Disney World and made all of his family come. All right. How about on the other end of the... we didn't say 91.5 for the Mets. What do you think? Over or under?
I would say over.
I would, too. I think even though... I mean, you get former Olympian David Robertson closing for you.
Hey, he did all right for the Philly.
He did well for the Cubs last year.
Yes, he did. He's good. And, Steve Cohen will... as Dusty, I think, said... If he has to spend, he'll spend on something.
Yeah.
So.
On the other end of that, the Nats, 59.5.
Oof. I actually, I like to see the good in people. I like to see the good in moves. I'm, an optimistic person about a baseball team and in February and March. And I liked some of their Candelario and some of their other scrap heap additions. I think they will win more than 59.5. I think they'll win maybe 64, 65 games.
Isn't the old saying in baseball, everybody wins 60 games and everybody loses 60 games is what you do in the other 42 that count? It's like, except for the Nats. Because I didn't remember that was the – well, except for the Nats. They don't win 60. Yeah, I would agree. It's hard to pick – hard to look at a Major League Baseball team before the season and go, oh, they can't even win 60 games.
Right.
Although,
Strasburg.
How about the Oakland A's? 60.5. Vegas gives them one whole more win than the Nats.
I don't know. They brought in Shintaro from Japan, and they're using him as a swing man or something. He's not. I thought he. Oh, there's your opening day starter. But I guess it hasn't quite worked out. He's not new Shohei. Similar thinking there. They didn't add anybody and they were terrible, but they have to be a little better than that. Maybe they won't be, but
I mean, that the plan they have is really good. They one of the headliners in the Matt Olson trade, Christian Pache, got DFA'd. He's going to be our center fielder for years to come. And a year later, anybody can have him. We don't want him anymore. Sorry.
The Phillies just traded for him, but they, I mean, I'm not sure. I'm not sure if he's new Reese Hoskins, so Schwarber can go play first. I think that's some of that. But
yeah, Kyle, he was better than I expected when the Red Sox put him there.
Yeah,
because Kyle is not tall, and you don't have to be really tall to be a first baseman, but you should be taller than Kyle Schwarber.
I noticed that. Like, hey, wait a minute! This is my height.
Yes. Although the bases are bigger, do they also think they're taller? Like, Kyle, just climb up on the bag; you'll be fine. It's like it's the same height; it's just wider. Like, kind of like
you. I didn't
measure
the summit. I'm not sure about that, Andy. I don't know.
Is it? You think maybe that's it? Maybe the Phillies measured the bag and they're like, "Oh, Kyle will be fine. He stands
right
on it."
Right.
Just stand right in the middle of it. What could go wrong? When someone's barreling down on you, it'll be fine. Why didn't they call the Cubs about Eric Hosmer? Well, Abe probably did. Eric's unavailable.
Right.
No, he's a key part of the next great Cubs team, so we can't trade him. Sorry. He's taken. You had your chance. You blew it.
Yeah, if that Hoskins injury happens in July, you watch, you know. Maybe
claim Hosmer off waivers.
Yeah, there you go.
Call him at home. Another interesting one I thought was the Vegas, or at least DraftKings, they do not have a high opinion of the National League Central Division. The St. Louis Cardinals, 88.5 wins.
You got to think it'll be a little higher than that.
I would love to see them under, but I just can't imagine. Two of the teams in the division, I know you don't play them as much, right? They lost 12 games against the Pirates and Reds, and six more against the Cubs. But still, they got two teams not even trying in that division. I would think the team that wins is going to win at least 90 games.
Well, and the Brewers aren't, for a team that is trying, they're not trying. It almost seems like the Brewers want to lose.
The thing I admire about the Brewers is their multi-year commitment to refusing to improve their offense. I mean, it's hard to just go, no, we don't ever want to hit. We're just going to rotate fat guys at first, and we'll be fine. I will not bet on the Cardinals to go over because just out of, I'm a dick. But I can't imagine that they're going to go under 88.5.
I don't think so. I mean, I didn't really like their starting pitching before, 48-year-old Waino groined himself. but they gave a contract extension to Chaz Michaels-Michaelis.
Yep.
And the mustache is worth it. I'm not sure about anything else.
Well, I mean, you get a chance for two more years of Ned Flanders on your pitching staff. You got to take it.
Oakley.
It is funny though. I thought Ned was left-handed. Didn't he run the leftorium?
He did.
Yes. Well, then they've got Jack Flaherty, who half their fan base hate because he's he's too woke.
He's politically active.
But he's also hasn't been healthy, and doesn't look like he's very good this year either. So maybe they're onto something. That's the thing. These gambling guys, they do tend to know stuff.
We'll see. Offensively, they could be pretty good with bringing rookie Jordan Walker into the mix. So
you'll be happy to know there was one of the Cubs prospect guys the other day was basically saying the Cub fans shouldn't be mad that the Cubs took Ed Howard like 9 picks in front of Jordan Walker. Because that was a weird draft and nobody knew anything. It's like, okay, well, you have to get your story straight, because when the Cubs traded for Pete Crow Armstrong, who was picked 3 picks after Ed Howard, they talked about how, oh, no, we loved him. We had him really high on our board and blah, blah, blah. It's like, why didn't you pick him then? Because you could have kept Javi. We could have had both. But no, that's fine. We don't have any of that. The thing I enjoyed about Jordan Walker when I finally got a look at him this spring is he looks like he's 40 years old.
He does. He's.
It's like, oh, they have another Albert Pujols. One of the best things ever, and I wish I could find this film, is the somebody had footage of Albert playing high school baseball. And, I mean, we know, right? I mean, it's like the worst-kept secret in baseball. In fact, David Sampson gave it up. So he comes to the U.S., and his family wants to enroll him in high school. And they say, well, he can only enroll if he's 16 or younger. And they're like, oh, he's 16.
Right.
And then he joins the baseball team. And he's like, he's balding, and he's got a full beard, and he's a head taller than everybody else.
Hitting the ball 100 feet farther.
Yes, and then he plays at that JUCO, and then gets drafted, and then he spends his first year in Peoria, and he's tearing up the Midwest League. And it's because he's 5 years older than everybody he's playing against in the Midwest League. And
Albert, why are you teaching these classes in high school?
That's right. Well, you know, the rest of the faculty, the rest of the what? I mean, the rest of the students. What did I say? And his wife was like 40 years old. I mean, right. The whole thing was just like,
he
okay.
had a family.
Yeah. And then Bob Nightingale writing these glowing stories about this 19-year-old wunderkind. It's like, Bob, he's not.
He's
not. He was 19 before he got on the raft. This is not. Anyway. You look at it's like, of course, their next hotshot prospect looks just is just fits the same bill. Like, I'm sure Jordan was, you know, is actually the age he's supposed to be. But as soon as I looked at him, I was like, of course, that's what he looks like. Yeah, I assume he'll be really good. And I enjoy when Cub fans get the lament the Cardinal voodoo magic. But how do they always find these guys? It's like, okay, well, part of it is they're just better at scouting than the Cubs are. That's part of it. And the reason that they can continue to have a good farm system is the same reason the Dodgers can, even though they win games and they pick down towards the end of the first round, is they watch half the teams make ridiculous overreaching draft picks. Right. And the guys on their board just fall down to them, and they're like, okay, well, this is the guy we wanted anyway, and we'll just take him. Now, the difference between the Cardinals and the Dodgers is that Major League Baseball, for some reason, can't give the Cardinals enough extra draft picks. For anything. It's like, oh, give the Cardinals a draft pick. Tornado hit Mississippi, Cardinals get a draft pick. It's like, I don't know why. They just do. Anyway, so over 88.5. How about the Chicago Cubs? 77.5.
No respect.
The Chuggo guys made their picks. I think six of them gave their picks of the Cubs. None less than 83 wins. In fact, one guy, 88.
Chuggo.
It's like, I don't know what you guys have been chuggoing, but they have an official beer, and apparently they're using it. They won 74 games last year.
Right.
I don't know if you heard this, but they had the fifth best record in the National League after the All-Star break. Yes.
The fifth.
And they're still hanging their hat on that. Is that was the biggest accomplishment before the Nico 3-year extension.
I can't wait for opening day when they unfurl the banner.
Yep. There won't be dry eye in the house. I hope Frank Schwindel comes back for it. I know he's in Korea, but maybe just put him on the video board.
He's Frank going to fight waves. For Korea against North Korea.
That's right. He's like, are you in the good Korea or the bad Korea? There's a difference? Anyway, 77.5. I think they nailed it right on where I look at this team's probably, they probably are 3 wins better than last year, and that would put them at 77. I won't bet it because I don't like the number, but if I was going to bet it, I would bet over just because it's more fun to root for them to go over than under.
Right.
But I think that's about where they are. All this season of improvement, there's a lot of different guys, but it's a lot of the same guys. They're just older and they make more money. I was intrigued by the National League West. I felt like Vegas just can't bring themselves to predict that the Padres will win more games than the Dodgers. So they have the Dodgers at 95.5 and the Padres at 93.5.
That's a little, yeah, the Pocota has it like 94 to 93, I think.
Dodgers over
And
Padres?
yes.
And I kind of like, I think I would bet over on the Giants at 81.5.
What do they got the Diamondbacks at?
75.5. I feel like that's an over. Like, just go throw some money
I
at the
think that is
window.
way over. I think they have a chance to nearly compete for a playoff spot, not first place, but
Yeah,
I think that's the thing that could.
if you were gonna make me pick whether who as of whatever day tomorrow is, the 30th of March, you told me I had to bet money on who's gonna win more games, the Giants or the Diamondbacks, I would take the Diamondbacks.
I would too. Full season of Corbin Carroll and for one.
And they don't have the bloody pa they don't wear the bloody pants anymore, right? They got rid of
I'm not sure. Yeah, the
the
blood splattered BMX pants. Yeah.
Like, whose brilliant idea was this? Oh, were
Experiment
you
a
guys
little
painting the floor? Why did you have red shit all over the bottom of your pants?
You gotta wear your batting practice gear when you paint. Come on.
American League Yankees 93.5.
Always seems low for the Yankees, but that's close. I think that's they've already had a bunch of injuries too. I think that's about where the number's going to end up.
They have the Jays at 91.5.
That's low. I think that's light.
I like that number. I also like the Mariners 87.5. I like the
Yeah,
over on 87.5.
I agree.
The Astros 95.5. Probably over.
Yeah, probably over. Although I would say not by, we talked about how there's probably not a 100-win team. I don't think there are either. So, and no more Verlander.
If you thought they didn't like the National League Central, wait till you see the American League Central.
No, I don't want to look.
Actually, the Guardians, they have them with the most, 86.5. I don't know that I could wager any money on the Guardians to go over 86.5. They have the Twins at 83.5 and the White Sox at 82.5.
I mean, I think they're looking at how everybody was looking at the White Sox before last year, thinking, well, we have the La Russa effect, but they have to be better on that end. So I could see that. I think the Twins, that's probably a light number. I think, I don't know if I make the Twins like a prohibitive favorite, but I like their chances to get near 90 wins. I'd bet that one.
Tigers and Royals both 69.5.
Nice. I like some of the things that the Royals have done, but I don't know that if it moves the needle on their wins for this year. They have a new pitching coordinator. The last one was Cal Eldred. He's not very good.
Cal still have the screw in his elbow.
Yeah, that was used to make me cringe when I think about that, but yes.
Remember when Sean Dunstan broke his hand and had to have a screw put in it, and then he just had the screw in it for a while, and then he broke the screw while he was playing.
Right.
Actually, that is that's the Carlos Correa thing, right?
Then
So
the
like he
ankle.
still has screws in his ankle, and both the Giants and the Mets doctors freaked out about A, the chance that it might break on him at some point, and he'd have to go in and take it out and then reset everything because it does damage when it breaks. But also just the fact that I think especially the Giants doctors apparently were like, "Why is it still in there? Like it healed. We didn't go in and get it." And it's you're not supposed to like have it in there forever if you're a professional athlete. And then he talked about how in a game last year he got hit on it and he could feel it vibrate. And he thought he like broke his foot again, and then
Right.
it went away. It's like, oh, yeah, maybe there is a reason. They didn't want to give him 13 years.
Hopefully there's not like a musical frequency that somebody can hit and get it to vibrate like that.
I know. I was watching that game and my dogs went nuts. So I must have been. What is that sound? Turn the TV off. All right, we got some player futures. Aaron Judge, home run total. Over under 45.5. It's like, ooh, he should be able to fall out of bed and hit 46 home runs.
I'd like to look up what Maris hit in 62.
He didn't hit 62. I know he didn't do that. Didn't he not hit 60 homers again? No, I guess not. That wasn't it. 33 in 157 games.
Yeah. Yeah. He's about 40% as good, which makes sense given the stress. If we remember the 61 movie.
Yeah. He played 7 more years after that, and he hit a total of 117 homers.
Mm-hmm.
How about Eloy Jimenez, 28.5 home runs?
Well, it depends on can he stay out of the net.
Yep. Already hurt. Showed up from the WBC, fine, first game. Oh, I think I pulled something in my leg. It's like, of course you did, Eloy. It's weird this is even on here. Hunter Renfro, 28.5. Who's betting this other than Hunter?
Hunter Renfro, they should have an over-under on how many teams Hunter will play with. You know, he plays 15 years, will he play with 14 teams? He's out of pace like that.
Kyle Schwarber, over 37.5, over-under 37.5 home runs. Hit 46 last year. I'd go over for my large adult son. Mike Trout, 37.5. John Smoltz predicted he's going to hit 50. I lost my connection there for a second.
Oh.
I don't know if maybe you heard it. Trout, 37.5.
Well, that seems low for him. But.
And I was saying Smoltz predicted 50 home runs for him this year.
Well, so much for that, then.
Yep. It was nice to have John doing those big, exciting games in March and then just complaining about everything. It was a lot of fun.
Right.
Feel bad that he hates baseball so much and he has to watch it, so much of it. Let's look at some pitcher win totals, just for fun. Brandon Woodruff, over under 11.5.
I would say over, but the Brewers are
more fun. Would be who will he get his final win for in the in 2023. Yeah. Will it be the Brewers or somebody else?
They just seem eager to move on from this competitive window.
Justin Verlander, over under 13.5.
It's just because he's an old man.
Yeah.
But I'd say way over.
Max Scherzer is 12.5. Shohei, 13.5. I didn't look at Shohei's home run total. I'm going to look at that while you're pondering. So 13.5 wins, 35.5 homers.
That's pretty fun. Well, he only won, how many games did he win last year? 13?
If that.
No, he had 15.
Oh, he did have 15. Good for show.
Year before, he was only 9-2.
Like I said, I think he's pretty good.
Man, 2.33 ERA. Crazy. I don't know how he does it.
Yeah, he had a 145 OPS plus. And he had a 172 ERA plus. It's pretty good.
A little down hitting across the board. It seemed probably bigger than it was, but he was only Yeah, he was 157 OPS plus the year before. So, but the pitching, he didn't get any Cy Young votes 2 years ago, and he was fourth in Cy Young voting last year. So,
he led the league in 2021. He led the league in three offensive categories.
Yeah.
Triples with 8.
Right.
Intentional walks with 20.
Right.
And caught stealings.
Yes.
10.
That's one area where he didn't run as much last year, for sure. Yeah, 26 stolen bases and 10 caught stealings.
Yeah, 2 years ago. They're like, knock it off. It's not doing us any good.
Right.
Well, here you go. I'm sure you can parlay these together. So yeah. Shohei is the 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8. He has the 9th best odds at plus 1,500 to be the home run leader in Major League Baseball.
Mm-hmm.
He also then has the 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8. He has the 9th best odds, plus 2,000, to lead the league in strikeouts as a pitcher, not as a hitter.
Mm-hmm.
So put those two numbers together and see what you can get out of that if he does both. Anyway, I thought those were fun. All right, so I'm not big on the preseason. I'm going to tell you who's going to win the World Series thing, because we know it's going to be the Cubs. I mean, they added Eric Hosmer and Nick Madrigal's going to be around for a whole full season. We know that. But in your tours of Arizona and Florida, did you see anything that you thought, huh? I'm gonna make a bold prediction now. Something that you're like, I think this is gonna happen, and nobody else thinks it but me.
Right. Well, I did get a good. You know, we talk about how the Brewers are kind of mysterious in their motivations, but I do like Jesse Winker to come back and hit like he did a couple years ago with the Reds. I think he had two surgeries at the end of last year, something on his neck. That doesn't sound great. And now that I think about it, but he's supposedly healthy from it, though. So if he is from his neck surgery, and I think he had like a knee cleanup, a meniscus. I'm not sure if there are any over-unders that you saw on Jesse Winker's OPS, but you know, I think he's going to hit well in the middle of the Brewers lineup. We'll see if the Brewers actually kind of ran into a couple of improvements with their offense, if they can get him to hit, and William Contreras,
yeah,
you know, maybe playing every day after posting a good slugging percentages for the Braves as like a halftime catcher. You know, maybe the Brewers here will get to 90 wins in the NL Central ahead of the Cardinals. So I like that. And
And I think the Winker, I think that's a good prediction, because I remember when he got traded to Seattle.
Right.
Some stats geeks basically looked at the park factors between, well, obviously it's a huge difference between Cincinnati and Seattle.
Right.
But basically said that they thought that it would just dramatically hurt his offensive value. Like they couldn't have picked a worse park for him to go to.
Right.
And so the two tragedies of that trade were, A, poor Jesse wasn't going to hit very well in that park, and because of the trade, Pat Hughes was going to have a lot less chances to say, A, Eugenio Suarez.
Yes.
Pat makes a whole meal out of that. And he's got to be very excited that coming up this April, the Mariners are coming to town, and he can say it at least for 3 games.
Oh, wow. That's big time. It's funny to me that is a word in Spanish. You'd think that they would just find another way to say Eugene. There's just way too many linguistic gymnastics to make Antonio. You know, it's just not. It doesn't have the same ring. So
I know you've been to Disney World. I know you went to Galaxy's Edge. got to see all the Star Wars stuff.
Yep.
Pedro Pascal has been doing, he did a lot of press for The Last of Us. And but people would invariably ask him about Star Wars and about The Mandalorian. And he
Right.
told, I don't, I think it was on Jimmy Kimmel, he told a great story about as a kid. And I forget what country he was originally from, but he came over as a small child, but he and his friend, a lot of his friends spoke Spanish.
Right.
And as a kid, he did not know the real name of R2-D2. He thought that the name they called him and his friends thought that R2-D2 was Little Arturo, because they thought his name was like Arturo Dio, and they thought it was they was how they said it. And there he goes, it was like 3 years before we found out that it was just letters and numbers. We thought it was Little Arturo, and I just love that story. Because we're gonna play with C-3PO and Little Arturo. We're like, what? Who are you talking about? All right. So on that note, I like to finish all the baseball preview podcasts with a Pedro Pascal story. Happy opening day.
And to you.
And thanks for coming on, and we will do this again shortly. So
I
thanks,
can't
Dave.
wait to get some real games under our belt.
Many of us have herpes.